Blessing to be here. Our portion this evening is based on the text, Matthew 7, 7 through 10, and our portion is seek. When I first looked at this, I'm the type of person, my character is such that I have to figure things out, mechanical sense. It most likely comes from my background in my line of work that I did. I'm always trying to organize, although I'm not saying I'm organized, because you could just ask my wife, Sister Cindy, and I'm sure she'll tell you the opposite. But I try to put things in categories. The reason I do that is because it's easier to remember, and it's easier to come to a conclusion every time. You can always find that same page of thought if you organize it. So I was doing that with our thoughts today. First, I says, oh, this is a command from our Lord, but it's really not a command. He's not dictating, you must do this, although it can be applied. Then I thought, well, maybe it's more under the category of the heading of advice. And I tended to like that more. This is more of an advice. And I did some more research and studying, and I realized he's giving us a list. And it's a list that's sequential. You ask, then you seek, then you knock. And it'd be the same as if you were looking for anything. Of course, we know this pertains to the love of God and His divine plan. But it helped me organize that thought that this is a sequential list. So I want to make this statement ahead of time. This scripture is not just a Bible student scripture. This applies to anybody that is seeking to know the true and living God, whatever path of life they walk. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't apply to the household of faith, but it definitely applies to outside. The term seek that we're looking at tonight, it appears in two of the verses, verses 7 and verse 8, and it's very short, and I want to look at it. I want to look at this in a comprehensive sense, so I want to look at it in context as well before we look at the individual word. It basically says in both, it says, seek, or if you seek, ye shall find. Important. Notice it doesn't say, if you seek, possibly, or maybe, you'll find a little bit. Doesn't say that at all. It says, if you seek, you shall find. Very positive statement, reinforcing that thought that what you put into it, God's going to give you an abundance back. So for all of our mathematicians out there, this resembles an equation. Equal portions on both sides. I want you to keep in mind as we're going through our thoughts. As I did some research on this subject, and I realized that this term seek is it's deeper than I ever imagined. Seek, I said, oh, seek. Okay, give the explanation and try to fill in for 15 minutes. There's just not enough there, but I was way off. There's a lot, it's deep. You've heard the analogy of it's like an onion. If you peel it back, there's a lot of layers. Well, that's exactly what this seek is. And tonight, with the short time that we have, that's what I'm going to try to do. Peel back some of them layers and show the intensity or the depth of this term seek. It's a common word, isn't it? We all know it. I can imagine that there's nobody here that doesn't know the term seek and know the definition, at least in part. And you know why that is? It's because if I asked for a show of hands, how many of us played hide and seek when we were little? No doubt, I'd get 100% response. So we all understand the term seek. And what is that? That's you're looking for a hidden object, and that's important. A hidden object. And you're searching for it. So go back in time when you were playing it, possibly at Bloomington like I did, or Albion when I started to get out of the childhood stuff. But when you were playing hide and seek, when did the game end? When you found what you were looking for. Very important, very critical to our thoughts tonight. Very critical. So you're looking for a hidden object, and you don't stop until you find it. Now, we know that our Master, the Son of God, our Savior, we know that He was that perfect example. We know that He truly possessed every good quality, especially the ones that He gave advice on for us to take. These are Christ-like qualities. But I started to think, okay, wait a minute. Let's get this organized in my mind. Our Lord was always devoted to God. And then on His 30th birthday, we know He met John the Baptist at that river, and John baptized Him, and He came up, and that miracle that God endowed Him with the Spirit from heaven gave Him complete understanding, and it landed on Him like a dove. So one might think that Jesus didn't have to seek after that. That's a natural assumption. But that's not true. Not true at all. Even though He was a perfect man, even though He was filled with God's Spirit, the Scriptures show us that He never stopped seeking. And I'll just give you a quick recount of the scriptural time of the event that took place. Remember, on the last day of His living life as a man, Jesus, after He established that memorial, they went off into the garden. And the burden, what He was about to do, became very heavy. He had the weight of the world on His shoulders. He had that realization that He was going to suffer intensely. He was happy to do it. He never shuddered once. But He went into deep prayer. We don't know exactly what He asked for. But I can assume that it was, Father, have I completed Your will to the letter? Have I done everything that You asked? Father, are You pleased with my efforts? What was He doing in that prayer? He was seeking God. He was seeking the counsel of God on the last day that He was alive as a perfect man. It never stops, brethren. Never stops. And that applies to you and I too. Because we don't just seek the Word of God. We seek His counsel. We seek His will in our lives. And we also seek His comfort. So seek is it's a broad stroke of the pen or a broad stroke of the brush. It has a lot of avenues to look at. Now, we realize that it applies directly and emphatically to the Word of God. We're going to look at that in a sense. We're going to start to peel that onion back a little bit. The Greek word seek. It's number 2212. And the definition, that's in the Greek dictionary, it really contains no surprises. It basically means to seek, to search. We all knew that. But there was one particular added definition that I found interesting, to say the least. And it said, to debate. I'm trying to organize that in my thoughts, and I finally come up with a thought, but I'm going to ask you to put that on the shelf. Put that on the shelf in the back just for a moment. We're going to get to that in a second. If you really want to get a better understanding of the word seek, go to the English dictionary. Simple. It gives you a comprehensive look at what the word means. It's classified as a verb, as Brother Michael said. And everybody knows what a verb is. What is a verb? It's a word of action. Doesn't mean you just sit there and wait for stuff to happen. You go do it. You go do it. It's a verb. It's an action word. And it means to look or to search for or to uncover an object or some information about an object or a subject and try to find more out about it. This kind of places it in perspective, and we pretty much already knew that. So what our master is telling us, he's advising us in this comprehensive list, in this sequential list, that we have tools. We have specific avenues to follow in order to find out about the Heavenly Father and His great plan. And that's what we're looking for, the gifts of God. Broad stroke of the brush. So, we know it's an equation. At least I think you can agree with that, the way it was presented. So I'm going to pose a question to you. I want you to really think about this. If ye seek, ye shall find. I have a lot of friends, Christian friends in the world. Some are neighbors, some are work co-workers. Don't work with them anymore. A lot of good people. Came across a lot of good people. And I know that they had Bible studies that they attended. I know they read. And I'm making this as a point to prove a point. I'm not trying to degrade anybody. So I'm going to put it in this tense. They seek, I have sought, but yet our knowledge of God is vastly different. Many of them comprehend the God of the author or the creator of hellfire. Many of them hold to the belief that God shares His glory with other beings. They sought. I sought. So the question is it the equation that's wrong? No, it isn't, Mother. The equation is solid. If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and somebody earlier today referenced it, and I love that scripture. And it says, and I'll quote this from memory, God desires everybody to be saved. And he continues and says, and come to a knowledge. I'm going to quote from King James. I use King James, but even the these and thous, to get a little monotonous. I know where the mistakes are, so it's easy for me to remember them. I lost my thought. God wants everybody to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's King James. He didn't do a good job interpreting that, did he? Because we know that that's far from what was implied by Apostle Paul. The word knowledge in the Greek is 1922, and it implies precision or a precise knowledge. And then the word truth is 225 in the Greek dictionary. And it means the facts or accurate. So what Apostle Paul was saying is God wants everybody to be saved and come to an accurate knowledge of the truth. So if there's accurate knowledge, what does that mean there is also? Inaccurate knowledge. Very simple. Very simple. We don't want that inaccurate knowledge. Peeling that onion back just a little bit more. So the Lord is instructing us to seek, to search His Word until we find that accurate knowledge. We have a craving, brethren, and it's not unique to just us, but our craving is unique. And what is that craving? I don't want to stop until I find exactly what it is about God, what there is to learn about God. How many here have had, outside of the Bible students in their experience, how many have had a craving? Whether it was while you were carrying your child or just in the middle of the evening, you just had a hunger for pizza. Yeah, we all did. We all have craving. What satisfies that craving? Only the thing that you crave. Only the thing that you crave. Matthew 13:11. I seem to have passed up a page of notes, so forgive me. But as time moves on, I'm probably good to do that. There it is. Okay. So there's one scripture that really clarifies this thought of seeking. And it actually uses the word seek in it. And it puts it in perspective, at least for me. And it's you can ask any of my classmates, and I'm very happy to say that West Newton Ecclesia is very well represented here. 66%, I had to do some quick math. 66% of our class is here. That's pretty good, cross country. You can ask some of my classmates. This is a scripture that I quote as often as I can because it has such a wide variety of application. And it's Hebrews 11:6. And we all know that. And it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. We know that part. But it's the second part that applies to what we're talking about. And that is that God is the rewarder of those whom diligently, King James, could diligently seek Him. That word in the Greek dictionary, diligent, 1567. It means to crave. And we all understand what craving is. So now, this concept of seeking takes on a third dimension, doesn't it? Now it's attached to your emotion. This is the instruction of our Lord, by the way. This is not words from me. This is scripturally proven and supported that it's three-dimensional. So it's attached to your emotion. So what God is saying is, the Lord is saying is, you seek, you search out, uncover this hidden object, and you do not stop until that craving is satisfied. That's the instruction. Now let's go back to that original, remember I asked you to put that thought on the shelf about debate? Pull it off the shelf. Debate. How does that apply to seeking the Word of God? Well, it actually does. You think about it. If someone walked in here or someone came up to this podium and says, I want to tell you something, brethren. Hellfire is real. And God is three in one. I'm just being sarcastic, of course. What would y'all do? You'd probably boom off the stage. But before that, you would get in your book and say, hold on. Look at this right here. It defies exactly what you said. You're debating Him. You're questioning what He has presented to you. That's also part of seeking. We are not to take for granted what we're taught. In Acts, I think it's chapter 17, it says, we're to be like the Bereans. The Bereans questioned everything. They didn't question it in the sense that I don't believe you. They says, I want to prove it. And that's what you're supposed to do. There's another layer to this. Now that I think in the short time I had, and then I'm running out quickly, Brother Steve knows. We have a general understanding of seek. And I'm satisfied, and I hope you are. It's much deeper. You can study it on your own. But I think we grasp the concept. But there's another layer to this, and we have to address it. Matthew 13:11. And this is our master talking, and he says, the disciples were saying, Lord, why do you talk in dark sayings? Why do you say these things? They're so hard to understand. You know what he told them? He says, because it's for you it's given to know, but for them it's not. That's a direct link to God's Holy Spirit. We heard a wonderful discourse about that today, didn't we? The Holy Spirit. Why do you need God's Holy Spirit? Well, the Scripture, especially in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul breaks this down very nicely. We are terrestrial, earthly. And there's a complete difference between the spiritual aspect or the nature of a spiritual being. Completely different. So as we mature and get whiter around the collar, we have a well to draw from our earthly experiences. But all that earthly experience is not going to explain the spiritual aspect. So God has to help those to understand it. And we know that is to be His Holy Spirit. That's how the Scriptures determine it. It's God's influence to understand spiritual aspects of His plan. And without it, you can't understand it. And who decides who gets that Holy Spirit? Not me. Not any of you. God Himself, the Creator. Why is that? Because He's searching your heart. He wants to see the intentions of your heart. How serious are you about seeking Him? Are you just seeking temporarily, just as a fad? Are you just seeking, yeah, I need God in my life, but I have some other business. This much is enough. I don't need this much. This is plenty. Huh. God's searching that. God's watching your heart. So God decides who gets that Holy Spirit, who gets the understanding. God mandated that long before you and I came into this knowledge. So if someone is willing to accept general knowledge, they have stopped seeking. They have found the answers they're looking for, right? Because you don't stop seeking until you finish that crave, till you satisfy that crave, that craving. So we can see that seeking is based on the heart's desire. So what we have come to know, brethren, in this short time, I hope I've presented in this sense, that it's not only a proper sequence of events that leads us to God that we have to follow under the advice of our Lord, but it's the heart attitude. It's the attitude in how we do this that God's watching and determining if we are worthy of His understanding. You know, we all know that God's Word doesn't grow on trees. Oh, I think I'm going to grab a little bite of mercy today. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't fall down out of the sky. You have to seek it. Same as that example of the manna in heaven, the manna in the wilderness. They had to pick up the manna. Yes, it came down from the above, but it landed on the ground and they picked it up. It didn't come in loaves of bread, did it? What did they have to do? They had to grind it. They had to work it. Then they had to bake it. It's the same with God's gospel. You have to seek it. You have to work it. You cannot just pick it up and say, oh, there it is. I got it. I can move on. Mm-mm. So seeking is a process, brethren. We're going to close out our thoughts now. Just remember that our loving Heavenly Father, through the grace, His grace, gave us by His Son these instructions, this sequential order on how to find Him. And what does that tell you? He wants us to find Him.